Hello and welcome to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in with us tonight. I know that some of you are wondering where did the music go, but you know, we don't want to waste any time on tonight's topic. We want to just get moving as quickly as possible because this is a very important and enlightening show. So we're going to move forward quickly into our housekeeping things before introducing our special guest. The chat line is already open for those of you who are listening or plan to listen by way of internet. Please remember that you do need to be a registered follower of the show in order to submit questions or comments that way. If you don't want to do that tonight, just call in. You know, use the number, the call-in number, 818-691-7406. That gets you into us, but you do have to select the number 1 if you have a question or a comment for tonight's show. As we move through tonight's show, we do want to remind you all that as we bring you in, for those of you who want to get in on this, you do, again, have to select the number 1, but please keep in mind that this is a live show and we want to allow everyone the opportunity to get their questions in, their comments. So please be mindful as we bring you in. Be ready with your questions or comments and speak loudly but clearly as well. So keep that in mind. We'll try to give everybody as much time as they need. However, we don't want anyone to go lacking tonight in that part of the show. I want to remind you guys, and again, for you repeat listeners or our Butterfly Evolution family, I know you hear this over and over again, but please remember to remove your trash cans. Again, for you new listeners, this is just our baby, one of the Butterfly Evolution babies. And what this does is we ask people to move their trash cans, move it from in the kitchen maybe, move it from one location to another in the same room if you want. But in doing this, monitor and make this a fun exercise for the family. Monitor how many times you go back to the old location of the trash can. And what this did for us, my son and I, what this did for us, and I still do this now, it allows you to see how the mind keeps track of even the smallest things in our lives, how things become habits, and we know what habits turn out to be. If you've been listening to this show, you should know by now how habits guide us through this life. So make it a fun thing. Again, continue. If you have not did that exercise, please do that tonight after the show. Move it, put a chart on the refrigerator or somewhere. And again, as a family, just monitor. See who goes back to that location the most. It is a very enlightening exercise and fun as well. Tonight's topic is your bondage, your freedom. Emancipate yourself with focus on the Willie Lynch letter. I have a very, very special guest who has just kind of, I feel like God has just allowed him to come into my life at the appropriate time. And so he is going to be on with me tonight, and I'm going to turn it over to him as Pastor Harris, but I'm going to let him tell you, he's out of Boston, Massachusetts, but I want him to come on and tell you as much about himself as he'd like to and about the prayer line, which is how I met him through a friend just telling me about the prayer line. So I want him to give you all of that information, and then what we'll do is get right into the show because we want to utilize all of our time but utilize it in a good way. Okay? So, Pastor Harris, you have it.
Amen, amen. Good evening, everyone. My name is Darwin Harris. I'm originally from Washington, D.C. My family's kind of comes out of Petersburg, Virginia. I am presently here in Boston, Massachusetts. I've been here on assignment, and now I'm ministering in one of the local churches here in Boston, Massachusetts. It's called Blue Hill Missionary Baptist Church, but more so as a born-again believer. My thinking and my thoughts in regard to my understanding in Christ, you know, I'm very challenged, and I love what Sister Tammy is doing because she does deal with controversial subjects and things that many times we don't want to, you know, we want to wink at or ignore or not take a look at. And this Willie Lynch concept and this place that has far-reaching ramifications that is affecting our ministries and our walk and our perceptions of even ourselves and even our perception of ourselves as Christians, because there's some things about that people who have come in contact with Christ, we should be living transformed lives, and we should be willing to have conversations about things that hinder us, and we should be able to, as Martin Luther King says, be able to grapple about, you know, things within our community. And we are supposed to, as mature believers, be able to not only look at the things that have caused us problems in the past, but what things are causing us problems right now. You know, the lack of education, the lack of availability of housing, or the lack of availability, or why, you know, certain things are happening in our community that seem to be very unique in our community. Is that an accident, or that divine, or that purposeful by the system? Because as long as you can keep the person that don't know that they don't know, and then we can stay in the same trap that we're in. And the same way that other people, like when you can find out about the Holocaust Museum, you can go and hear about and look at and about what happened to the Indians. So they remember how what happened to them, and they recognize what it is that they won't let happen again. And, you know, everything is documented in history, and we spend so very little time taking a look at the things that have caused us problem in the past, the system that created this problem, and the system that recreates this problem. It is cleverly contrived and constructed by the system in hand. I'm not going to say it's a white system or whatever system, but it's a class system, and to create a class system amongst ourselves. And this particular Willie Lynch letter, it would bear, since we have a little bit of time, can I just, I know you're going to talk about some of it, Sister Tammy, but can I kind of begin to kind of go into this, to kind of give people kind of an idea of what it says? So for those who don't know about this letter, they can hear a little bit about it, what this letter, the construction of it. May I?
Certainly.
Okay. Well, here we find that this letter was written, and Willie Lynch, you know, for that's very synonymous. His name became, you know, synonymous with lynching. That's where the word lynch came from, to be lynched. So Willie Lynch, the letter opens up, and it says, "I greet you on the bank of the James River, in the year of our Lord, 1712. First, I thank you, the gentlemen of the colony of Virginia, for bringing me here, and I've come here to help help you solve some of your problems with slaves. Your invitation reached out to me on my modest plantation in the West Indies, where I have experimented with some of these newest and still the oldest methods of control of slaves. Ancient Rome would envy us if my program had been implemented. As our boat sailed the south of the James River, named for our illustrious king, whose version of the Bible we cherish, I saw enough to know that your problem is not unique. While Rome used cords of wood as crosses for standing human bodies along its highways in great numbers, you were here using the tree and the rope on occasion. I caught the whiff of a dead slave hanging from a tree. You are not only losing a valuable stock by hanging, but you're having uprisings. Slaves are running away. Your crops are being left in a field too long for maximum profit, and you suffer occasional fires, and your animals are killed. Gentlemen, you know what your problems are. I do not need to elaborate. I'm here to enumerate your problems. I'm here to introduce you to a method of solving them. In my bag here, I have a foolproof method for controlling black slaves. I guarantee every one of you, if installed correctly, it will control your slaves for at least 300 years. My method is simple. It says, I've outlined different differences among the slaves, and I take these differences and make them bigger. I use distrust and envy for control. Then it goes on in this letter. It says, then there is intelligence, size, sex, size of plantation, and status. It goes on to outline the actions. He says, I shall assure you that distrust is stronger than trust, and envy is stronger than adulation and respect or admiration. I mean, it talks about, you know, creating a atmosphere of distrust among us. You know, it says that it says black slaves, after receiving this indoctrination, shall carry on and will become self-refueling and self-regenerating for hundreds of years, maybe thousands. But don't forget to pitch the old black male versus the young black male, and the young black male against the old black male, because you must use the dark skin slaves versus the light skin, and the light skin versus the dark skin, and, you know, the female versus the male, and the male versus the female. But it's necessary, listen, that your slaves trust and depend on us. They must love and respect and trust only us. That's a provoking. And then it goes on talking about how to make a slave. And they talk about an animal and how an animal is broken. And what happens in an animal, you don't break the animal's strength. You break the animal's attitude. You break the animal's the understanding of that this animal, you ain't big enough or bad enough or strong enough or smart enough, because I'm the master. And no matter how strong the animal is, the animal will always be subservient to its master, because they depend on the master for food and the master to tell them where to go and take them where they go, and they stay where the master tells them to stay. And what we find that is perpetual, what's happening. We got people who are generational project people, generational people who are smart enough, gifted enough, intelligent enough, and have the, and creative enough, and talented enough to do so much better, but we never seem to get out of this hole. We seem to continue to do the same thing, and we've been taught to hate our black selves, and we have no problem when one of us fail or fall. Instead of taking that brother and bringing him back into the fold and showing him where his error was, and then putting him back in that position and showing him that he's still usable for the community, and even more so for the kingdom, you know, we cast that brother out. We leave him on the side of the road dead. You know, and then many of us will say, you know, whenever someone's doing very well, as opposed to trying to find out what he's doing and align ourselves with it and encourage him to do even better or greater or learn more from him and what he's doing and doing it well, you know, we have a certain kind of animosity, you know, about our brother who's doing well. We know he must be doing something slick. Or that's why brothers can't come to church, because when they see the pastor up front, you know, in his fine suits and all this stuff and all these women around him, and he ain't paying no attention to the brothers, we know we kind of see the pimp thing going on, when really everybody's in that church and ain't no big people or small people. We all God's people. And brothers and men draw real men. And if a man is in the church, he should understand what it took for him to get there and help the men to create the same atmosphere that got him, you know, to the position he's in, however that might have been, or to recognize that he didn't get there on his own, and then deal with the ministry of empowerment. Jesus was about empowerment. And when he came into his ministry, Sister Tammy, that he came and he said the first thing that he came and did after he came out of the temptation, he came back to the place where he was from, and he began to talk about, God has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, you know, to heal brokenhearted. And what you have to do is you have to look, if you see, and we don't even read the Bible with a strategic eye anymore. We don't really look at it. We just kind of, you know, we gloss over it, and, you know, we don't really want to look at it real close, because Jesus Christ not only recognized that it was about the kingdom and about heaven and about eternity, but he also was concerned about their, you know, their hunger and their situation. And he spoke to those that were have-nots and told them that they could have. And that's where where the confusion was, because if we look at the truth of the matter, is that the Jewish aristocracy was actually put in control of by the Romans, and they were told to keep the people peaceful. Well, after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, you'll see it in John chapter 12, you'll see that they said, look at these people, we're going to lose control, and everybody's going to follow after him, and the Roman government is going to take our position. They weren't worried about making a difference. They were worried about keeping their position. And sometimes even we look at Martin Luther King, this person that we romanticize and we idolize. You know, we don't. The truth of the matter is that there was probably 25 to almost 50% of the black preachers and the people that were in control in the black community that considered Martin Luther King to be a troublemaker. They did, because he spoke out against poverty. He spoke about parity. He talked about having equal opportunity. He talked about equal education, equal chance at the American dream, and the system that was in place, meaning that we allowed these few little brother people to be in control in their little communities and their small little hamlets. They thought Martin Luther King was starting trouble with the master. It was still a master-slave mentality. Don't start no trouble. We're doing all right down here, drinking out of a colored fountain. Right here, living in shacks and living and reading books that's all tore up, and you know, not having equal housing. And being 3/5 of a person, not even having a right to vote. Don't start no trouble. That's what they were saying to him, Sister Tammy. Don't start no trouble. Master gonna get mad. You know what I mean? But Martin Luther King recognized what the real gospel is supposed to do. The real gospel said that we're as good as anybody, and we're equal to anybody, and we deserve the same choices that everybody else had. And for that, they hated him just like they hated Christ, and they killed him for it because he began to speak out against the power structure. As long, you know, he spoke out against the power structure of the United States when he started talking about a dam in the war in Vietnam. So that was the eternal complex, the war complex, where all the money goes and people make millions and billions of dollars off of wars. And when he did that, they said, now you got to kill him now, because now you're messing with our money. Now we might let y'all look like y'all have a fair share, but don't mess with our money. And they killed him for it. And he even spoke to, but the social piece came in where he was talking about, you know, that if we are just concerned about heaven and not concerned about the slums, and not concerned about poverty, not concerned about the least, the last, the lost, and the disenfranchised, if our religion doesn't cover that, doesn't speak to that, doesn't address those issues, then he said the religion that we have is as dry as dust. There's no way in the world that we should come and hear about this magnificent power that God has given each one of us, and the promises He's made to all of us, and then stay on welfare and don't get no better. You know, stay having babies out of wedlock and don't get no better. You know, staying, you know, numbing ourselves with alcohol and drugs and don't get no better. And I'm not trying to say we don't make no mistakes, but we should be perpetually getting better. We should perpetually seeing ourselves through the eyes of Scripture and saying there ain't nothing I can't do. And I ain't scared to not only say it, but I ain't not scared to live it. I'm not scared to talk about it and shout it from the rooftops. I'm not afraid to go down to the White House, to the State House, or to whatever house, and use my vote and my dollars to let people know that I'm not going to have this. Or I'm going to speak out, and I'm going to use my talent and my gift, and I'm going to use it for the edification and the growth of my brother who might not have the opportunity. We got this prosperity concept, but that prosperity concept should be one that should mutually, you know, the church came together in the book of Acts, and people, the body grew. And all people had all things in common. Look in the third book of the book of Acts, Sister Tammy, that all people had all things in common. People, the rich people came in and sold their stuff, and you know, to the point that the stuff that they had that was extra, they gave their stuff to the disciples, and they distributed among themselves, and everybody, there was no class system. Everybody had some stuff. There wasn't no poor folk. I mean, it was no impoverished folk. As long as some people in there had some money, everybody had some money. They weren't dependent on the master. You know what I mean? They weren't sitting back, and there was no welfare system in place. You know, we buy what we want, and then we beg for what we need, Tanya. We shouldn't be doing that. We should be doing what we need to do. I mean, we can have our own schools. We got enough of us with education. We have enough of us with that have taught in these schools. We have enough of us who have background and are professionally prepared. There's enough of us who are businessmen. I mean, we can control our community, but we don't. We let other people come in and control our community and take their money out to the suburbs and leave us broke. You know, we got many of us right now, Sister Tammy, and I'm going to back up for a minute and let you kind of jump in here, but we got many of us who still are career, I'm going to work for somebody, and don't even understand that it's us that made them somebody some money, so why can't we own it for ourselves? Why can't we get into an ownership mentality where we can not only control, but we can have leave legacy? These people who understand owning and controlling, it's kind of like the book that's out, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. The reason that we don't know nothing about money because we don't never keep no money, and we don't know how to handle our money, but we spend all of our money at the, you know, trying to buy new tennis shoes, trying to buy the new Michael Jordan tennis shoes and gold chains. We ain't, you know, we get half a dollar and we go buy us a Cadillac. We don't understand about owning property. We don't understand how interest rates work. We don't understand the purpose of good credit. We don't understand, you know, we don't allow the gospel that we have now lived and learned and loved to begin to shape our lives, because we're still in bondage. You know, I don't see when I see a brother fail or fall, I have to be able to say, yeah, he made a mistake, but that's my brother. And I pray, you know, I pray for his restoration, but more importantly, that if I can, I'll help him if I can. And we can do that even in our small fellowships. You know, how can we sit back and just let them just completely, you know, we've seen it even in this most recent political process, how they really feel about us. Are you hearing me, Sister Tammy? They feel, we have seen that they're like this, 47% of people don't even make a difference. There's 47% that are not even worth nothing. We're not even concerned about them. They believe they can buy an election, and they really don't respect your black president at all. And for no reason at all, and I'm not trying to get it political, but because he's black, these people out here will give him the utmost disrespect. They don't respect him at all, and they said, we will tank the whole government. We will destroy the whole economy before we let him be successful, because if he's successful, then there are going to be some other black kids that are going to want to be president. And we let him, you know, we let these kids believe that they don't have to be an entertainer, they don't have to be a basketball player or a football player, you know, they don't have to be a jokester or a comedian. You mean to tell me they can be a scientist and they can be president? They can have the most powerful office in the world? They might just start thinking they all could do that, and they surely don't want that. So what you see now with Rush Limbaugh and some of these other people out there, you can hear the conversation and the tonality of it. You can see with Donald Trump, you know, that he uses these terms like he think he's good. That's a term they used about uppity Negroes back in the day. That's a buzzword to say who he think he is. He think he better. You know, he's out of his place. And we don't even hear that. We're not incensed by it. You know, we have and I think that we have to come a time where we have to kind of go back to the original problem. Why we can't get along? Why do we undermine one another? Why do we always think that somebody's trying to? Why do we think that we always trying to do something to someone, to each other? We always think we're trying to play each other. Why can't we think we have a good character? Well, sometimes it's true, but for the most part, I want to believe that the same God that's talking to you is the same God that's talking to me, and the same God that's talking to me is the same God that's talking to you, that's convicting me when I'm wrong and telling me that I can do that, I can be all that I can be in Christ, that I'm a new creation in Christ, and everything God said about me is true. In every area of my life, I can have everything that God has for me. I mean, Sister Tammy, I can go on and on and on, because, you know, as a pastor, I feel that it's my responsibility, my obligation to speak to you know, all of those things. You know, I've made some, I've learned from error. I've learned from being a victim in some situations of this very community that I'm talking about. So a victim of thinking that, you know, not knowing what it was to have a father in the house. So I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know how to do that. I didn't really know. And I've had to learn since I was an adult. I didn't know that, you know, substance abuse would turn into something ugly at some point. I didn't have any idea. I thought I was having fun until it turned on me. And then I became, you know, the animal that substance abuser can become. You know, and losing and almost to the point where you almost feel like you can lose everything that was ever about anything because you're under control of something else. But it's no mistake that we make sure that we got plenty of liquor in our neighborhood. We make sure that there's plenty of drugs, you know, plenty of reefer, you know, all other stuff. I remember in my neighborhood, Sister Tammy, back in the 60s and 70s, I remember in my neighborhood, you could buy heroin for $1. I mean, I remember in my neighborhood in Northwest Washington, D.C., on a street called Upshur Street, and it wasn't that unique, but in Northwest Washington, D.C., that I remember friends in elementary school, the money that my mother could give me for lunch, you know, that $5 a week or whatever that was, to, you know, to pay for my milk and cookies that we used to get, you know, for lunch and snacks. I don't know if everybody would live in that era. But that $5 could buy you 5 shots of dope because it was only $1 per they call it, you know, a dollar cap. And so you could actually have a habit. And then what happened is they got the whole neighborhood addicted. And then after the neighborhood, all the neighborhood was addicted, they created a market, and then the price went up. And when the price went up, then you started doing whatever you had to do to get it. And you can't tell me that a little boy who's in the 7th and 8th grade, now that he can't afford no dope on his dollar, now he got to steal. And a little sister who done started messing with some dope, and she could afford to have it, and all of a sudden the price goes up, she got to sell her body or do something else. You know, and all of a sudden now you got some people in our community who some are making the money and some are making profit over abusing other people, and then you got a whole climate of discontent, and the same generation of people, when HIV and AIDS and all those other things, half of them went to jail and the other half died of a byproduct of this confusion, because when you ain't got a job and your living condition is bad and you don't feel good about yourself, then you need a drink. I mean, you find that's a way to not feel or live in the world that's all around you, because you ain't got a job. There's all kind of abandonment and all kinds of abuse and all kind of molestation and all kinds of crime going on. So since you ain't got a job, ain't no mama in the house or daddy's out there getting high, then guess what? I need to get a little high too so I don't feel the pain. You know, and then years later, we don't even know where the problem started. We don't even know where the problem started. You know, all these sisters, all the brothers in jail, and all the sisters are left to raise these children. Half the sisters, good sisters, I know that weren't even using drugs, got hooked up with the brothers that were using drugs and either got caught up in the drugs or got dealt with the byproduct of them using drugs, because them brothers that were using drugs on the down low had HIV and had AIDS and was given to the sisters who didn't even know no better, because they didn't have many choices. So a destruction of a whole community. I remember my mother's church, I remember at least at one point and during a period of time where it was 50 to maybe 100 people died in a 2-3 year period of time, HIV. Whole church was empty. Almost half the church was gone. It was like it just swept through the church like locusts. People who you didn't know, they have no clue, HIV. You know, all kind of things in the pulpit, around the pulpit, up in the leadership, all kind of things were byproduct because, you know, it touched people in every area. And I don't know. I'll sit back for a minute. I don't know, but again, I just want to talk about what do we do? That's the problem. What's the solution? We got to recognize, we got to force ourselves to get out of the fact that we can't talk to one another and start having conversations. We have to force ourselves to see that the light-skinned sister and the dark-skinned sister are both beautiful sisters. One is not beautiful just because she's light, and one is not beautiful. You mean like our standards got to change. All of these are my sisters, and I got to start making sure that these sisters, you know, that our sisters, you know, are being respected. But we also have to bring up our boys, you know, with a different attitude, you know, of that they have a responsibility to themselves and to the community. Amen. And those that are struggling, those brothers who do know how to, you know, who do have the ability to mentor and encourage and have the gifts and are walking in those gifts. We don't just get that gift and then go move out to the suburbs. We should have a sense of responsibility to the community, to our brothers and sisters, and especially to the body of Christ. Whether that, you know, no matter what, to the body of Christ, that God, if you bless me, I'm blessed, and there's a blessing in being a blessing. So I want to take what God you've given me and share it with somebody else. I want to share it with somebody else in some kind of way, because every last one of us know, but by the grace of God, there we go. You know, only by the grace of God, I'm where I'm at. Only because of the grace of God, I have what I have. Because if with nothing else, God gave me these gifts, and he gave me this talent. And God spared my life and gave me a chance. So I'm fortunate enough to have had a mother and a father like some of you might have had. I'm fortunate enough to maybe have been afforded a college education like some of you have. And I have a responsibility to my community. I have a responsibility to God himself to ask God, what can I do for this community? What can I do for the body of Christ? How can I leave something that someone else, that my life can touch someone else's life, and I can tell them where I come from? I mean, that by the grace of God, someone taught me about, you know, you, some of you out there have the gift, and some of you are gifted, and some of you, even as you hear what I'm saying, know that God is speaking into your ear right now, telling you that you can make a difference in the body of Christ, because divided we fall, but together we can stand. We are the community of faith. It ain't about Presbyterian Church of God in Christ, Pentecostal or Baptist, you know, it ain't about all that. It's one church and many fellowships, and we serve the same God, and we have a responsibility to speak out anytime there's a wrong, no matter whether it's black or white, but especially many of us who are of color. And many of those who are not of color, you know, if the truth be told, that you should have a voice too. And many of us who, even in when there's a poor white kid or underprivileged other persons, Hispanic person or Jamaican person, you know, because Jamaicans won't talk to the Honduran, and Honduran won't talk to the Dominican Republic, and the Dominican Republic and African don't talk to them. Everybody better than everybody, and nobody's talking to nobody. We don't have no unity amongst us. And one thing about them, they, no matter what, if it comes down to it, for some of them, then they recognize that they all in this together. And guess what? If the rubber hit the road, you got to go, because they know what it's like to stick together. They know. They might have their little fights, their little end fights with them, but they look at us and look at them and say, they can't even get along. They can't even get along. And then for some of us who choose to cross over, because we say, well, guess what? I'll just get on the other team. They don't have much respect for them either. Because when it's all said and done, they said, you can't even stand for what you stand for. And if I can't use you to be an enemy to the very people that you should be an ally with, then once your usefulness is gone, then I'm going to cast you out too. Because I ain't got no respect for you either. Because you sold out. You don't even know who you are. And I don't know. I hope I haven't offended anyone out there. And I'm open for this conversation, because we do need to grapple with, you know, our education and our experiences, and then look at it through the template of Scripture and ask ourselves over and over again, is this what Jesus would do? I mean, and look deep inside your heart, my brother, and look deep inside your heart, my sister, and say, are you being true to the God that you serve? Are we being true to the God that we serve? Are we being truly true? I mean, because some of us even come into our calling, and I've seen even some elder black men who, you know, who's saying, we ain't gonna let no women in the ministry. I mean, and I'm not trying to get too deep, but guess what? You know, we can't do the same thing to the women that the system at hand's done to us. So what we do is we come in and we put a rope around somebody's neck and we don't let them. And now, according to word, now if a person has a gift, to use a God, use that gift for the edification of God. You know, use those gifts for that God would get the glory. But there's enough room in the ministry and in the body of Christ that you know we you know every one of us should be celebrating each other. I mean, and celebrating one another. You know, let me just throw out a concept. You know, that we don't really take a look at. There's some principles out there that we should take a look at every now and then. And I'm just talking about the seven principles of Kwanzaa. And you know what that concept is? One is unity. The next one is self-determination. The third is collective work and responsibility. The fourth is cooperative economics. Are you hearing me? The next one is purpose. Amen. Purpose. You know, those are the kind of things that our ministries and our walk in Christ should be creating an environment of all of these things. You know, creativity. You know, what I mean, we are creative people, and there's a creative thing that runs through all of us. If you sit and look, and we will let the enemy kill our dreams and our ability and our ambition and for us to, you know, even some of us, we've been beat down so long we can't even see ourselves through the eyes of God. And then the final thing is faith. Well, faith is the first and the last. You know, faith is what brings us into it. But then after faith, what's next? Where's the unity? Where's the self-determination? We got children who stand on the corner and got gifts and talents to do great things, but nobody has ever told them that you got to be determined. And we have to have a common interest and make decisions that are in the best interest of our family and our community. Amen. We have to understand collective work and responsibility, which reminds us of our obligation of our past, our present, and our future, and that we have a role to play in our community and our society and in our world. We have cooperative economics, which emphasizes our collective economic strength and encourages us to meet the common needs and mutual support. That's right. That's when we bring all of our stuff together and recognize the power of the almighty dollar. If we bring our stuff together and begin to recognize the power of the dollar, we can do great things with it. Not to buy needless, useless stuff. How many dresses do you need? How many coats do you need? How many people's stuff do you need patched on you to make you feel good about yourself? You need to hold on to your money, save your money, and then use your money for the purpose of leaving a legacy to your children. I mean, and that's something that I'm learning, and I'm just getting to learn, and because I didn't know it for myself, but that's what it's really all about. And then creativity, to make use of our creativity to build and maintain strong and vibrant community. Faith, focus on honoring the best of our traditions, and it draws about the best in ourselves and to help us strive for the higher level of life for ourselves and mankind, and affirming our self-worth and our confidence and our ability to succeed and triumph in a righteous struggle. That's what the whole civil rights movement is, a righteous struggle. People were willing to pull themselves together, to get themselves together, to do the things that are right. And, you know, it's kids and elders and older and educated and not educated, but they all came out with a common theme, and it wasn't about fighting, it was about standing. It wasn't about cussing and, you know, shooting and killing. It was about standing on the word of God. You know, they had one woman who started the movement. She didn't even have a GED. But she started a movement, and with God's divine providence, they all got behind, you know, this enough is enough concept. When are we going to come to enough is enough, people of God, people of faith? When are we going to say enough is enough? No more children getting hungry. No more elderly people having to eat dog food instead of buying medicine because they don't have no money. No more of us, you know, going to the state pen to get our children. Our children can go to Penn State. You know what I mean? Well, when are we going to say enough is enough? How many children of ours are going to be killed by children who look like us? How many of us are killing each other? We ain't fighting out there. We ain't fighting the real enemy. We fighting each other and killing each other over a dollar, you know, over a color of a scarf. You know, we got so much separatism, the same thing I'm talking about. That's why you got the Crips and the Bloods and all them black kids. All of my kids of color, all of the kids that are poor, and why don't they get together? Because they can't get together because they hate themselves, and then they kill each other. You know, we got people right across the street, churches across the street, you know, a community-based organization. Nobody talks to one another. We undermine one another. I was in a meeting that the people that were in leadership were so undermining, trying to get a few little dollars that was being offered, that when the people that came in that was offering the money looked at the people that were in the religious community arguing. You better hear me, Tammy. They watched them arguing, you know, how they all scheming to try to get this couple few little dollars that they had for faith-based organizations. They looked at all of them and says, why don't y'all just come and talk to me when y'all get yourself together? How disrespectful is that? You know, to see us fighting over a couple few little dollars. And then these other people who don't look like us come in and see us fighting. You know, like, you know, we ain't no longer pastors no more. We ain't no longer men of God no more. We ain't no longer preachers and leaders and persons that have a responsibility to have be of character. You know, we have a responsibility to walk upright. You know, we got we've shown that it's all about a couple few dollars. You know, and that we all was trying to get it, but when it came down to it, we were going to do whatever we could do to each other to get it, because it wasn't about each other. It was all about the individual and not about the collective power of the group. And then they'll come in and look at you and say, y'all need to get... That's when they come and talk to some preachers and say, y'all need to get yourself together. So I'm talking about them, the enemy, the people, the other people. I'm not calling them the enemy. I don't want to say that wrong. But them, the other people who are looking at us and saying, y'all supposed to be the leaders. What an embarrassment. I'm done, Sister Tanya. I'm going to step back for a minute. Maybe you...
It feels good to sit and listen because, you know, I have to come and do this Monday after Monday, and so that was food for my soul and my spirit. I'm going to... Most of the things that I had for the start, you have already touched on. We do have a caller, and thank you for your patience, caller. And for those of you who are listening, remember, in order for me to know that you do want to be pulled in and comment or to provide your comments or questions, remember, you do have to select the number one. I did not tell you guys that how I will pull you in is I will provide you the area code that you're calling from and the last four digits of the number that you are calling from tonight. So I just pulled in a caller from 901, and the last four digits is 9812. Caller, you're on the air with us.
Yes. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How about yourself?
Doing good. Thank you for calling in tonight.
Yes. I just like to comment on the Willie Lynch conversation. I'm just tuning in to you guys, so I really don't know what's been said, but I heard the last caller. I wanted to speak upon the part of the black woman when it comes to the black woman in our community, to where in the letter, you know, it's the black woman who he broke to break the black children or the black babies to where,
amen.
You know, hello?
Yes, sir.
Here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And when he you know, referred to the horse breaking that horse out of the wild, he took that female horse and broke that female horse, and then he don't have to break the children. The master don't have to break the children, the female horse, or break the children for the master. So, you know, regard to the black woman, a society cannot rise no higher than its woman.
Mm.
And the issue is that nowadays, how I see it is, a lot of black women, you know, they break the spirit of the black man when they're babies, when they're little black babies, by, it breaks his spirit by, you know, with feminine energy. There's a lot of single parents who are not knowing that she's what she's doing, not knowing that she's breaking this baby. She's not aware of the psychological issue that's been placed upon her psyche, and this is. It's the root of the problem that's carrying on that Willie Lynch syndrome. the black woman, you know, I can give you an example. You know, if a black man is trying to be an entrepreneur and he's going out and he's telling his woman, his wife, his girlfriend, his mother, or whatever, hey, I'm going to be a rapper. I'm going to be a car salesman. I'm going to be a landscaper. I'm going to be whatever it is that he want to, you know, create. She would not adamantly support that because it's not bringing any money right now, and she really don't believe in it because in society you don't hardly see any black men really doing that on a great scale like you see other cultures. So that reality kind of you know, put her in a non-reality that her child, a baby or a black baby, can do that, son can do that, or even daughter in that instance. But she'll support him if he say, I'm gonna go to college, and it's gonna take me 4 years to get this college degree and go out here and do this and go do that, and I'm gonna be a doctor when I get through. She will support him with no stress. She will put no stress on him. She'll support him all the way to the end as long as he's going to school. But if he say that he's going to start a business and, you know, I'm going to put my heart in this and I don't want to go to school. I'm going to go and start a business. I think I have enough to where I want to start. She would not support that, you know, wholeheartedly. She would say, you need to get a job, you need to help me, you need to do this, you need to do that. So once we, you know, the black woman starts supporting the idea, whether he, you know, fail or succeed at his entrepreneurship, you know, we need to start supporting that because it's that type of behavior is what's going to free us from our bondage, because we need those pioneers and that boosts confidence, you know, and we have to start that in the single parent homes. And if we don't have no one to show that black woman that to break that psychological chain of slavery, then we're going to constantly be in bondage and we won't be able to grow as a community.
Okay, this is Tammy, and a few things I do want to and had planned to read the breaking process of the African woman. However, there's a few things I want to kind of comment on what you said about, I'm not real sure, I don't think I'm in agreement with the part of so much so that with parents or women supporting even going to college. I see you a lot of, and particularly working. My issue or where I get kind of twisted in this as it refers to the Willie Lynch letter is I see the female, the black woman, actually being a hindrance to our black males because of the breaking process of the African woman. I think it seems like they are afraid to let them go or afraid to push them out, even sometimes to go to school or even to work, which I think has resulted in having so many women, older women, sit back and take care of these men, and these men being okay with being taken care of. So as far as the Willie Lynch letter, as it relates to the breaking process of an African-American woman, it just seems like women are, again, they are limiting the black male, which is just a triggering effect. It seems like it's just multiplying, and it's becoming from the young to the old. I see just as many older men just sitting, I don't want to work. I'm, you know, and they got a female here okay with taking care of them. You know, I'm all for the yards, whatever you have to do. I'm for you working at McDonald's if that's what you need to do, but you need to be doing some other things to get past. If you're going to work at McDonald's, then thrive to be managed, thrive to own a McDonald's. So that's where all this kind of takes place for me. And, again, I'm not so sure of how much support even women are supporting the young male to go to college, or particularly with starting lawn, you know, services and things like that, and for rapping as well. So,
can I jump in there, Sister Tammy?
Yes.
And you know, I have an entrepreneurial attitude. I'm like my brother. And what I would do now, if I had a young boy said to me, "Dad, I'm not gonna go to college, and I want to be a businessman," and I say, "Son, then you know, I want to hear you walk me through your plan." See, there's one thing to say, you know, like, okay, I want to be a basketball player, but I'm not practicing playing basketball. You know what I'm saying, Sister Tammy? Okay, I'm going to be a basketball player, but I ain't even good at it. So that's a fantasy. Or I want to be a businessman. Okay, so here's what I'm going to, I want to take that young man, and I want to kill his dream. What I want to do is I want to see, first I want to encourage it, but then I want to set the tone, because if I want to show him where he's at, and I'm going to ask, and I'm going to find out how prepared he is for the plan that he has. Because I say, well, what's your plan, son? Okay, how are you going to do this? And you just going to walk out there one day? And what's your plan? You know, walk me through. Tell me how it works. Are you networking? You know, and you know, let me hear you do your thing. Let me hear what you're working on. Let me see what you. I mean, like if you say I'm not going to go to college and I got a plan, then walk me through it and sell me. You sold on it to make you think that you can do it. And you might be pleasantly surprised and say, this brother got himself together. He might understand that he needs a business plan. He might understand about production. He might understand about promotion. He might have 35 songs on. He might have a little team already put together. But if he's just sitting there saying, well, I want to rap, and I got one little song that I heard and somebody told me I could rap, I'm going to be a rapper. Then I must say, brother, you need to kind of work on that a little bit more, because you need to kind of put some stuff together. Now I'm not going to kill your dream. I'm going to say, you got a skill set and you want to pursue it. You know, how can I support you? But I'm going to try to expose you to what areas that you need to work on, because if you're really passionate about it, you would say, thank you, Pop. Now let's go get busy. You know what I mean? You know, thank you for showing me the components of how this all works. Now I'm gonna start putting together my team, and you know, and Dad, if you want, you can help me do this, and I'll be saying, son, then you got my support. But I want we like look at these things very, very realistic, because it don't just accidentally happen. You know what I mean? You gotta, you know, you and you know, and if you even a person who says I just got skill, well, how much skill do you have? You know, how well have you worked on your craft? And what you'll look at many times is when somebody's passionate about something, you almost don't even have to ask them what they want to do. You can see that passion in the way they approach what they do. Like if a child want to sing, man, that child's singing everywhere. That child is looking at singing, reading about singing, hanging with singers, singing every place, got a little singing group, you know what I mean, out there doing it for free. And because he's passionate about it. So, you know, I think what happens is when we look at stuff is that you can look at, you know, we got to have that fire and compassion and that tenacity and that drive, and then we also have to be, you know, and then in addition to that, we got to be gifted.
Okay.
So that means it's a package deal, but sometimes we walk into a situation, like when I talk to kids, I say, what you want to be when you grow up? He said, I want to be a doctor. I said, do you know how long it takes to be a doctor? Nope. Are you good in science? Nope. What kind of grades you getting? D's. You don't want to be a doctor. That's a fantasy. You don't have any, you know, you haven't even taken a hard look at, you know, like, okay, I want to be a doctor. That means I need to be good in this and this and this and this. I need to be a great student. Got to go to school.
They need to start preparing. They need to start preparing.
Right. I mean, you should be talking. Like, I have a daughter now that is preparing to be a doctor. From the time that she was a little girl, from the time she was in elementary school, we've been talking about it and talking about it and talking about it, and she has shown the motivation to get there. And by the grace of God, now she's getting there. But that is comes from preparation and encouragement and hard work on her behalf, and hard work that her mother has been so supportive, and her mother has sweated blood and tears for that child. But that child also did everything she needed to do to put herself in that position. So it wasn't really hard to help that child when you got a child that's passionate about what they want to do. Passionate.
Okay. let's move and caller, I muted you for just a second because we were getting some feedback, but I have you back on, so hopefully we all understand. I think we're all kind of saying the same thing but in different ways. So, caller, do you have anything else to share? Because we do have another caller that we want to get in as well, and I'm still on with the 901 last 49812.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know if I was on. I was just trying to see.
Yeah, because we were getting a feedback. Yeah, I just muted you for just
a second. Basically, to the respond to what he was saying, yeah, he's right. He's absolutely right in what he's saying in the passion of that particular, you know, art form or whatever, you know, goal that that person, that child is trying to set. But at the same time, if that child say, I want to go to school to be a doctor, you don't know if he's going to be a good surgeon or a bad surgeon just by him coming out of high school. And but, yeah, we wouldn't even question that. We were like, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, be a doctor. Be a lawyer. And he may be, have a nervous hand. You know, may not be a great surgeon. But we don't know until we go out there and experience life. So, you know, that's another form of fear. You know, because I understand what he's saying about being passionate and having that passion, but what I'm simply saying, we have to get out there and try and find out what we're passionate about, and the only way we're going to find out is if we go out with our own self-styled wisdom and go find that. If we don't go find that, then we don't know, and that's basically, you know, my viewpoint on it. I wasn't really saying that, you know, education is not important, because it is. It's paramount. I was just giving a different viewpoint or a different side of the equation that perpetuates the problems that plague the black community economically.
Okay. We received that, and thank you again for your call. We have a very hot line here, and so we're just going to keep moving. Again, thank you for your call and your comment, and keep listening.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bless you.
And bless you, too, bro.
Okay. We're going to bring in another caller from the 901 area code, last 48714. Caller, you're on the air with us, if you'll give us your question or comment.
Yes. Can you all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, I have a comment, and it's really based on critical thinking. I'm not saying this is the end-all, be-all problem in our community, you know, as many others, but I really believe from my observation that a lot of us do not do critical thinking, meaning that from my opinion, we really follow too much the semantics of words in a way, and we follow the semantics of symbols and what other people tell us, and we think we know what they mean, but we really don't, and we think we understand what other people are telling us, how to improve our lives and so forth, but we really don't understand. For an example, like the previous caller, he was talking about, you have to go out and search for what you're passionate about. And that is so true, especially if you don't know. But I noticed in our community, for so long, for too long, we have been so assimilated and domesticated in the white man's culture. It's like we really go along with what the powers that be say, which don't look like us, and we think that, okay, this is the end all be all. We're going to succeed. Let me give you an example. Like, we'll tell young people, well, okay, go to college and become a doctor or a lawyer. But the question that we're not even asking is, well, who said that they should go ahead and be a doctor or a lawyer? I mean. And we equate those to so-called good jobs, with the critical thinking is that when we plan, we don't use critical thinking to an extent, and when it comes to language and history, we don't tend to understand. And the point that I'm really making, and I'm sorry if I'm sound confused, and I'm trying not to, is that we really are falling for the uses of words and especially the language. And I wanted to, is it okay if I just read a quick quote from this book I have called Breaking the Curse of Willie Lynch, The Science of Slave Psychology by Alvin Morrow. And I have this book, and it's a very interesting book after you read the Willie Lynch letters. But can I read just one quote?
Sure, sure. And we'll go on. I have about 10 people on lit up and then some in the chat. So, but yeah, please give us the name of the book again and that quote.
Okay. The name of the book is called Breaking the Curse of Willie Lynch, The Science of Slave Psychology by Alvin Morrow. And
okay.
And to prove my point, I'm just going to read this just one short paragraph. It says, very briefly, let us examine the language used to describe denomination or denomination. The deed means to separate. Nami comes from the Latin word nominare, which means to name. Nation speaks for it all in reference to black people being a separate nation within ourselves. As we can see by studying the root languages that make up the English language, we are brought closer to the underlying motive of those that oppress through the tactic of divide and conquer. The word nation in its root stems from the Latin word natalis, pertains to one's birth and connection to their nature. And the reason why I was saying that is because part of the reason we may not know who we exactly are, who we are, and where we come from, and because we do not know our history, that could be part of the reason why we disrespect one another, because we don't know who we are. There's the one last suggestion I'm going to make. I would suggest anybody who's listening to this is to look at the documentaries Hidden Colors 1 and 2. In a nutshell, that talks about black folks' history all around the world. That's history that we're not being taught in our educational systems. And I'm using all this history information to build my self-esteem up as a darker-skinned, melanated person. And that's helping me to treat black folks better in a way. So it's like a self-help. But yeah.
How do they find out, or how do they look at, is that Hidden Colors documentary?
That's the name of them. Hidden Colors. You have Hidden Colors, and then you have Hidden Colors too. And you can order from Hidden. Excuse me?
Is it on YouTube?
I don't know if you can watch the whole things on YouTube. They have the trailers, but you can go to HiddenColorsFilm.com.
Okay. Someone else recommended that book, and so I'm glad you brought that up because I was meaning to bring that up tonight on air, but someone recommended that book on Facebook on the site today for the show, Breaking the Curse of the Willie Lynch Letter. So encourage you guys to read that. Well, thank you, caller. Anything else you want to add or any questions before we move on?
Oh, me?
Uh-huh.
And three other books real quick. One of them is The First Americans Were Africans by David Imhotep. He's a PhD. The other one is When Rocks Cry Out by Horace Butler. It reads more like a novel, but it's some very interesting information. And the last one, it's an old book, but it's called Nile Valley Contributions to Civilization by Anthony T. Browder. Very interesting book.
Anthony P. Browder. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you for your call. We're going to move on just to try to get everybody in because we are really lit up tonight, okay?
Let me throw this out as you're transitioning into your next caller. You know, a lot of times as a theologian, our European theologians have separated Africa from Egypt, and when Africa is actually on the continent of Egypt. And when we look at, you know, where our passions lie or where our abilities lie, if we go back to the original template and look at that, you know, math, architecture, medicine, law, I mean, all those areas is where this is what we brought to the world. This is information that that our contribution to the world was in this area. Law and medicine, even if you look at the actual doctor's creed, the medicine, the whole doctor medicine piece was a European who came to Africa and learned and then came back to the Greek culture, and then he became what it was called the forerunner of medicine, but actually he went to Egypt, and that's the way he was trained and learned, and then he popularized it. But actually, you know, the medicine and law and architecture and science and all those things were areas that we were gifted at. So sometimes we have to just go back and look at our contributions and say that we have a variety of gifts. And what we have to do is just find out what it is that, you know, where your strengths lie. You know what I mean? And just allow your strengths, you know, to kind of begin to shape your destiny. You know what I mean? And, you know, those things are, you know, at first it comes from one is being in an environment that somebody gives you ability to be a free thinker. You know what I mean? People begin to say, child, try everything. You know, grow up and experience and be willing to, you know, don't let any areas be closed off to you. You know, be willing, you know what I mean, to take a look at every area, because we need talented journalists, we need poets, we need, you know, social workers. We need people who work in the community. We need people who are great teachers. Teachers are important. All of these things, you know, we have the gift to do anything that we want to do. All we just have to do is find out where our gifts lie, and then begin to find out how does this shape? And sometimes, you know, we are all continually to evolve. Me is coming from the corporate community, you know, but I came off the street, and guess what? I was selling stuff on the street as a young boy. You know, didn't never know that at some point I would be able to do this in the corporate community and would be darn good at it. Didn't know, but I had the ability to, you know, I had some social skills and some salesman skills, and all of a sudden I began to say, well, let me just perfect this. Let me use this stuff, and let me go find out, you know, let me qualify it by getting the other education, and let me just continue to expand my horizons. And then that same thing ultimately evolved into even now. You know, I'm still selling, but guess what? I'm selling Christ now. You know what I mean? So I'm selling the best product in town, and that's a relationship with God. So my skills and my marketing and my social skills have evolved over my 55 years, you know. But all these things come from knowing what it is that God had me to do, and my continued growth in my relationship in Christ has continued to, God begins to speak to me and tell me what to do. And that's why I'm not hearing out there, is because we develop our relationship with God, and we continue to take that thing and put our, you know, and say, now, God, you've given me these gifts. Now, show me how these gifts, how I can be a benefit and a benefit to myself and to my family and to my community and to mankind.
Okay. Well, I want to go, and unfortunately we have, I guess these kind of shows bring out some ignorance, and I just really want to say, I'm not going to entertain it, but I do want you to know we will continue to talk about things like this so that my people, our people, all people are delivered. So for those of you who think you are stealing from this show, I tell you, keep going, because you can't beat what God has in store. So I just want to get that out there, and we're going to move right along to our callers, and I'm just going to let you know, because we don't know who's always calling in, if I get ignorance, I'm just going to mute you right away. So that being said, we're going to pull in a caller from area code 443-7216. Caller, you're on the air with us.
Hello? Hello?
Caller, you're on the air with us.
Hello. I have a quick question for you. You have a pie on one chair and a dick on the other. You have to eat.
Just like I thought, you guys. So we'll keep moving. I'm going to go down. Let me just here pick some calls that we know where they're coming from. And this is the ignorance that we receive, again, when we start to talk about things that eliminate bondage, the things that people don't want us to talk about. But we keep going. Okay?
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to try another number here. And, again, I noticed that in our chat line, I'm going to pull a number in that I know. I have Brandon online with us.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. I wish you were here with me to handle this chat line, because we're getting a lot of unnecessary feedback.
Oh, it's okay. That's part of being successful.
Amen.
If you notice throughout history and throughout time, there's always been people of ignorance to combat the people that have actually made history. It wasn't ignorance that made history. It was these great men and great women, you know, that progressed and did things that were progressive to further the agenda of human nature. So a lot of times when you do that and people don't know who they are themselves, they're ignorant of their own self. So how can they realize what is dumb or what is pathetic? So first I wanted to address the pathetic person, the pathetic human being that decided to call in on ignorance. There's a lot more he could learn by looking into a mirror rather than calling your line.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Amen.
And I just want to say this for those who are calling in. I do keep all my numbers, and I will start to report you. I will. I will not. I do have a voice, and I go for it. So you keep calling. You keep doing what you're doing, and I promise you, someone will be knocking at your door. Keep
Amen.
Going. Keep moving.
Amen.
But, on another note, that's great. We need those people because they're really good for publicity, and they get great dollars in, good listeners in, good sponsors in. So tell them keep doing what they're doing. On another note, as far as the Willie Lynch letter goes, I really think that in some cases it's pushed on by the people of which inherited. And in another case, there's people that break that bondage. So what we have to do is decide which side we're on, because eventually knowledge will overpower ignorance either way.
Absolutely.
Whether it be one generation, two generations, three generations, or 20, it will happen. So the end justifies the means for us to keep on progressing, not only as a people or as a demographic, but more as humanity and humans in general. Because when we do it, we provide the precedent and the example for others to do it. Someone could be listening to this in India somewhere, you know, and it could give them hope to go and chase their dreams. Or that someone who doesn't live in a liberal society where they have the ability to pursue happiness and liberty and see justice every day when they go out into the streets or not, they can be motivated to do what they have to do within their communities to see that, to be the change in themselves that they want to see in their community. So I invite everybody to start doing that. From the caller that called in previously to me, to all the ones before that, everyone go to a mirror and look at yourself. If you have the time to go and hate on someone else, then you obviously don't know yourself, because none of us are perfect. So we all have more to learn within ourselves than we have time to go and talk about anyone else to cause nonsense. So there's a lot of self-realization that we have to do and a lot of self-cleansing to figure out exactly who we are. And when you realize that you, yourself as a human being, is 99% the same as a chimpanzee genetically, then there's no difference between you and I, or your neighbor, or a person on the other end of the earth. So remember that when you talk about someone, or if you try to oppress someone, whether it be Willie Lynch, or whether it be your preacher, or a gangster, or whoever. All creeds, all colors. We all have more work to do on ourselves than we do on others. And if we do that and treat everyone else as if they were us, love your brother as you love thyself, the golden rule that transcends all religions, then we can progress.
Amen.
So whether it be Willie Lynch, whether it be an amendment to the Constitution you don't like, it doesn't matter. We have to be the change that we want to see in the world, and that's my comment.
Well, thank you, caller, and I so agree to that. And, you know, we have to discuss things like this because people want to push things like this under the rug, and you can't. You have people out here that can't seem to get over. There's a pill to wake up that people take and a pill to go to bed because they can't get over something that happened in their childhood, and they think that we're supposed to progress through slavery untouched. But we can get through it, and we're going to get through it. We have. What we're doing is uniting, saying you are far better, far above where you came from, what state you were bought in to this world. Because, see, many of you out there that are tripping, you came free. But, see, we realize we came free, too, because we're a child of God. And for those of you who are commenting, when I say have someone to your house, I mean the blues. I do things right. When it's appropriate and when I can, I respond right because I have to keep myself in order. But I'm not going to give you guys the attention. We're going to get back to what we came here for.
Amen.
And
absolutely.
The ability to move forward. So, caller, thank you. We're going to keep going. I'm going to take you off air now. Thank you much. I want to read, I wanted to make sure I get to this breaking process of the African woman.
Yes,
so I'm going to read that, and I'm going to try to be as quick as I possibly can. We're over an hour in the show. So the this part of the Willie Lynch letter is the breaking process of the African woman, and it reads as follows. Take the female and run a series of tests on her to see if she will submit to your desires willingly. Test her in every way because she is the most important factor for good economics. If she shows any sign of resistance in submitting completely to your will, do not hesitate to use the bullwhip on her to extract the last bit of blank out of her. Take care not to kill her, for in doing so, you spoil good economics. When in complete submission, she will train her offsprings in the early years to submit to labor when they become of age. Understanding is the best thing. Therefore, we shall go deeper into this area of the subject matter concerning what we have produced here in this breaking process of the female nigger. We have reversed the relationship in her natural uncivilized state. She would have a strong dependency on the uncivilized male, and she would have a limited protective tendency toward her independent male offspring and the male. And she would have a limited protective tendency toward her independent male offspring and would raise male offsprings to be dependent like her. Nature had provided for this type of balance. We would raise male offsprings to be dependent like her. I'm sorry, I read that again, you guys. We reverse nature by burning and pulling a civilized nigger apart and bullwhipping the other to the point of death, all in the woman's presence. By her being left alone, unprotected, with the male image destroyed, keep in mind, with the male image destroyed, and I'm reading this as is, so excuse the language. The ordeal caused her to move from her psychological dependent state to a frozen independent state. In this frozen psychological state of independence, she will raise her male and female offsprings in reversed roles. Very important there, in reversed roles. For fear of the young male's life, she will psychologically train him to be mentally weak and dependent, but physically strong. Because she has become psychologically independent, she will train her female offspring to be psychologically independent. What you have got, you've got the nigger woman out front and the nigger man behind and scared. And again, that's exactly as it reads. This is a perfect situation of sound sleep and economics. Before the breaking process, we had to be alertly on guard at all times. Now we can sleep soundly, for out of frozen fear, his woman stands guard for us. And I want to read that again. For out of frozen fear, his woman stands guard for us. He cannot pass her early slave molding process. He is a good tool, now ready to be tied to the horse at a tender age. By the time the boy reaches the age of 16, he is soundly broken in and ready for a long life of sound and efficient work and the reproduction of a unit of good labor force. Continually through the breaking of uncivilized savage, by throwing the nigger female savage into a frozen psychological state of independence, by killing the protective male image, and by creating a submissive dependent mind of the nigger male slave, we have created an orbiting cycle that turns on its own axis forever, unless a phenomenon occurs and reshifts the position of the male and female slaves. So I'm saying there that there needs to be, and it is time for, a phenomenon to occur and reshift the positions of the male and the female slaves, as they say, but I say free people. So it's time for a reshift. It's time for a phenomenon to occur, my people. And that is the breaking process of the African woman. We encourage all of you to read this Willie Lynch letter. If you have not, many people have not read it. ever. Some people have not heard of it. But we encourage you guys to read this. Pay attention to the things that we talked about early in the show, that the differences. Pay attention to what differences were that they used to set up that fear, that distrust, that envy. And think about how those things apply in your day-to-day life when you are next to your sisters and to your brothers. How are you treating? Distrust means suspicion, doubt, disbelief, okay? And it says black slaves, after receiving this indoctrine, this Willie Lynch plan, and indoctrination means programming, brainwashing, training. You know, after receiving, it says that this will be self-fueling in the lives of blacks, and it specifically says blacks. It'd be self-generating for hundreds of years, maybe thousands of years. So we need to focus on those differences that have been created, that were set in place: age, sex, size, status on plantation, intelligence, light skin versus dark skin versus light skin, the old black male versus the young black male, female versus the male, fine hair, coarse hair, short versus tall, size, all these things. And then with those things, they said create fear, distrust, and envy. But by all means, they need to trust only us. They need to love, respect, and trust only us. That is something to think about. So, our lines are still open here. Again, do you have anything before I go to the lines? I'm not real sure who to pull in, but again, if I pull in ignorance, I'll just delete.
We just cut them right off, but I think, you know, we probably got some good people out there. I believe that. But I think this is such a great conversation, and I don't believe this is just even the only conversation. I think even there should be some more, because I believe this is going to settle in some spirits, and for people are going to hear what they say. And I would love to hear, you know, people now when they leave this line today and thinking about these things that we're talking about, I would love to hear in a week or two to come back to this conversation and let them see if they can see this thing in action and see, because the point is one, not only do we see this, is that we as individuals begin to say, here's what I'm doing, you know, and let's celebrate, you know, each of our attempts to not only recognize, but to make some decisive moves towards the change, because the true change comes from when we can let our belief system and our faith, that's where the power, you know, and the true transformation comes, when we can use our faith and this thing that says there's nothing impossible for God, and allow our faith and the God that we serve and this thing that we call the power of the Holy Ghost, and it's there and it's alive and it's well, to allow us to be able to, as the Bible tells us, let the same mind that's in Christ be in us, like you said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, to bring every thought into the captivity, into the obedience of Christ, and to realize, as it says in Romans 12 and 3, that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And this is a progressive, ongoing process that we are never going to arrive, but there's a progressive process of maturing and understanding. And what I'm hearing, like the brother who reading the books, is education and exposure and application. Because it's one thing to have it in your head, but where's the application? How do we apply this? How do we begin to have these kind of conversations, you know, in an environment where we all can look at all of our gifts and how do we come together, and all of our challenges, and be able to when we see that it raises ugly heads, I'm talking about fear, abandonment, distrust, you know, selfishness, and all those other things that that we normally naturally use to protect ourselves, when we can let down and trust one another enough to say to one another, we are all in this together, in Christ, in God's word, trusting in God, and then walking in love. You know, first love, it has to be for Him. And the second love will be that we begin to love ourselves, because if we love ourselves, Sammy, you know, and I'll say, use a term like young people say, if we love ourselves for real, then we begin to walk in that love. And then we won't even allow people to disrespect us, because we respect ourselves too much, and we'll stop doing some things to ourselves. Meaning there's certain behaviors that we will eliminate from our life because of our love for ourselves. And then, as we love ourselves, as the Bible says, we begin to love our brothers and sisters as we love ourselves or as God has loved us. That's when this thing began to really happen. When we put our faith in there. That is through God that saved us and brought us this far by the grace of God. Even though now how poetic justice is it that for the very people who said that these people would never be but 5/8 of a man, you know, and they would perpetually be slaves, you know, how prophetic is it and how divine, how much of it is God's divine providence for some people like my mother who's 79 years old, she tears in her eyes. She said, Darwin, I never thought I would ever see the day that a black man could become president. How is that just like God to do something like that? I'll take the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, because you know there's no way in the world that the forces and the system in hand would ever have ever thought that this could happen or it was even possible. They thought it was a joke, and look at what we got. So yes, God is in this. So what we got to do is go ahead and continue to get together, because he's just the beginning of showing what God can do, because we can do so much more. I said we can be so much stronger as a community.
Right. Okay, so we're going to take some more calls. And I apologize, guys. Some of you have been waiting for quite a while, so I'm going to go here and pull some of you in. I am going to pull in a caller from the 270 area code, and the last four is 6858. Caller, you're on the air with us.
Hello?
I just ditched that one. I just think that was another bad caller.
Okay.
I'm going to keep going.
270, that's Maryland.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, I know that. That's like up in northern Maryland. I know that area.
Okay.
I'm from Washington, D.C.
Okay, well, if I didn't hear anything, so I just cut that one off. So let's go on and try. Let's try this 816. We have a caller from 816, and the last four is 2359. Caller, you're on the air with us.
Hey, so I was listening to when you were talking about.
Okay. We're going to keep going. Guess we are under attack, but praise God.
Hey, you know, look, anybody mad but the devil, you know, and I, God bless him. God bless him, and, you know, ignorance is that, but that's okay. If we got any, I know we have some people probably calling from the Maryland area, which is 301 or 410, or maybe Boston, 617. And they might be out there. I don't know if you have any of those in your queue.
Right, and if I pull you in, just go ahead and identify yourself right away. Otherwise, I'm cutting off because there's so much ignorance. So let's try call from 402 with the last four of 0629. Again, 402, the last four 0629. Call, you on the air with us.
Hello.
Hi.
Just give us your name, please.
Hi, my name is John.
Hi, John.
Okay, John's taking too long. That's a 402. So
okay.
We're going to let me take some things off of the chat line, and we'll do here.
In the name of Jesus, God, I ask you to bless these next callers. I pray, God, that you would move that you would move all the things that the enemy might do to take away this good conversation, because we're not talking, it's not a black thing or a white thing. This is a humankind thing. It's about right and wrong. And I pray, God, that people who want to do right and things to be right would step forward. And I right now bind Satan in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Satan, I rebuke you. You cannot stop this conversation. It's going to happen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen.
Change is going to happen. I mean, it is.
We're going to keep moving on. The struggle goes on, amen. We're going to continue to press our way.
Right. Okay. And what I'm going to do is just start clearing some of these lines out. Okay. Some of them are very, very unfamiliar and just come across as weird numbers. Let's try here, 781. We have a caller from the 781. The last four is 5812. We have a caller from 781. The last four, 5812.
Hi. I'm calling not really with a comment, but just
I'm excited, and I just feel something awaken inside of me.
Praise the Lord,
Black.
Christine. I knew your voice. Hey, Christine.
I knew you were going to call me out, Pastor Harris.
I know you. I know you. I know voices. Amen. God bless you.
Well, I just feel encouraged, you know, as a young black woman, I feel bound. And some of what you're saying, it's making sense.
Hmm.
And that's what it's about. We're just trying to connect and make people aware so that we can move forward, because there's so much bondage that takes place. You know, women, we talk about the black woman, and as I just read, the breaking process of an African-American woman. We all, black or white women, we do have a hard time. But like I said, you know, there are pills for this, there are pills for that. There is no pill to make us overcome slavery. As I shared with someone a few days ago, we talk about how now when you get pregnant, when a woman is pregnant, they tell her to calm down, you know, get your rest, don't be stressed. Well, what do you think mothers, African-American women who were slaves at that time, carrying children in their body, seeing their husbands, their sons, tied to horses and beat, that stress alone. So what does that produce? See, so now it's okay for you to tell every woman, you know, don't be stressed, don't do this, don't do that. Well, what happened to that baby that was in that womb that came up in all of this, that was inside this mother's womb, who came to this life? We don't want to think about things like that. But again, you guys, it is time for a phenomenon to occur. It is time for a reshifting in your mind, within your circle, within your community. That's where it starts. It doesn't start with ignorance, because ignorance comes in all colors, all shapes, form, fashion. It comes, it's everywhere. So ignorance is all over. We have to look past the ignorance and move forward. What can you do on your street? What can you do better yet in your household? How can you be a better parent, better mother, better father, better brother, better sister, better child? How can you be a better worshiper of God? How
Amen.
Can you love more? So that's what this is about. So thank you. And after that prayer, thank you, God, for leading us to a call that works. Thank you. See, and that's what our God does. That's why I say foolishness, you can't win. You can't be God. You cannot. You cannot. Okay, Carl, I'm sorry. Do you have anything else before? Thank you for coming in. Thank you for being a supportive ear. Thank you for just being right there at the right time. Because, again, after that prayer, look who we pulled in. So thank you.
Well, that was my purpose in calling, because I feel grateful for this experience. And I'm hoping this opens up other venues and, you know, this can be shared with other women so that we can kind of make sense out of the personal struggles that we go through and why things seem to be so hard and we just can't break them.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you pray about them, sometimes it seems like, you know, you ask God to take this thing from you or to work it out, but we seem to always draw back into the same old comfort zone. And it's insanity. So I guess I'm really grateful. I'm going to tune in. This has changed my thought process.
Okay, well, thank you so much. We're going to try for some more callers. And thank you for those in the chat line who are promoting peace, love. I see that people are just taking over, saying love, kindness, peace, love, unity. So I'm appreciative of that, because, again, that's how we eliminate ignorance. And all you're doing is just you're helping my ratings. So thank you.
God bless you.
Okay, great. Let's take another call here, and we won't continue. Let me go. We have a caller. I'm not sure if I tried this line before, but we have a caller from 571 with the last four digits of 4646.
Yes.
Amen.
All right. I'll just delete that one altogether. I apologize, but you guys, we've reached, you know, we will reach so many in this type of airing. So we're going to keep moving. I'm ditching some of the calls, and you guys, if I'm ditching the wrong ones, please forgive me. Let's try 614 with the last four of 3403. Caller, you're on the air with us. 614, the last four, 3403. Okay. All right. Well, let's sum it all up. If you guys. If you're listening to us and you want to text me, for those of you, most of our regular listeners and the people off of Facebook have my text or my number to text me as well. So if you want to get in that way, and I have reported this to Blog Talk, so we will certainly, I have written every number down, so I know for sure.
You have any out there with 202 area codes or 301s or 410s or 617? 617, 202, 301, 410. I know that's the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area. And then 617 is up in Boston.
Okay. 402 with the last four digits of 069. Did we just... We already bring you in. 402 with the last four of 029. You're on the air with us.
Hello.
Is this 402 with the last four of 0629?
Hello.
Hi.
You're on the air with us.
Hi. Can I tell you a story? It's kind of sad.
Is it pertinent to this conversation?
Your conversation is about racism, isn't it?
No, it's not racism. It's about a kind of a Willie Lynch. Do you know anything about Willie Lynch, my brother? You know anything about
the
letter or you know, just some of the struggles, you know, and you know, just and this is all parody and making something that was wrong make it right. It's all about love. And it's really all about our faith in one another and in mankind. Is that pertaining to that this conversation about that?
Yeah, it's just. It's
and remember
that.
That's
what
we want to go there. So why don't we be direct about some questions? How can we help you tonight?
All right. My Uncle Phil, he's kind of a great guy, but,
I'm sorry. I'm just not going to deal with that. I'm sorry. He's beating around the bush too much, so sorry about that.
God bless you, my brother.
Yeah.
But let's be kind of focused, y'all, as you come in. Kind of, if you would, for those that are coming, if you would come right in directly, and if you have some questions, you know, kind of be very direct. Let's be adult about this. And, you know, because this is all about right. This is all about, you know, this faith that we have in our belief and things, you know, coming right. For all those that are out there listening, even those naysayers who think that this is just about, this ain't about racism. This is about things coming together, because this is a system, and somewhere in our system there's some things that have, you know, that has gone wrong. And some of it is because of, you know, our individual insecurities. And, of course, you know, in our faith system, there were some people who could go to church on Sunday and then burn somebody and hang somebody on Sunday night. And that's not what our faith, and that's even not in any faith. I don't care if you is Muslim. I don't care if you are Jewish or whatever. You know, hatred is hatred. And we're talking about eliminating hatred and self-perpetuating hatred. That's what it's all about, my people of faith that are out there. You know, it's all about, you know, making something wrong, making it right. So if you want to talk about how we're going to make it right, if we're talking about making it right, then come on in and let's talk about how we're going to work together to make this thing right. Whether you're a white brother or black brother, I mean, we all, you know, we all bleed the same blood, and we're all red blood. We all are, you know, human beings, part of the human race. And you don't have to be black to know that there's something wrong in some stuff, where there's anybody that can be wrong or disenfranchised. you know, we should all be about the common good of all mankind. So if you want to come in, let's come on, let's talk about what we're going to do about making things right, y'all.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, let's try. I have a caller with the last four of 8888.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about some wrongs being righted, and I was really excited.
We can barely hear you. If you could speak.
Talk a little bit louder, my sister. A little bit louder.
Oh, sorry, my bad. Hang on.
Okay.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Making sure. So I found this out recently. Apparently, Mississippi just recently finally ratified the 13th Amendment. They hadn't ratified it before. But and I think that's an interesting thing you mentioned about wrongs being righted and stuff. And I think, you know, your show is trying to do something very positive, but it seems we have some people in the chat and stuff who are trying to really derail it. I think that's disappointing because it's you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, you know, it's like you have people, like, you know, saying, like, some, like, this place, I don't know what it's called, 9GAG or something, some weird site, I don't know. But my point, though, is that I think it's good that, you know, that Mississippi finally went around to fixing this, you know, horrible injustice.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just sad when you see these people, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, the beauty, my sister, is that, you know, white, black, and otherwise or whatever, you know what I mean? Well, you know, when we see wrong, and I'm saying when I see wrong done to anybody, no matter what their background, if they're being disenfranchised, if they're being hurt wrongly, then we all should speak up. If I see somebody doing something to an old man, whether he's white or black, I don't care if he, you know, if they're in a wrong place, and I've been in places where I've been the majority, and I see somebody doing something to a white person, I'm going to say, that's wrong, man. That's wrong. So it's not a right thing. It's wrong. Wrong is wrong. You know what I mean? And that's when we can speak up for right and wrong, and we begin to have those same kind of voices, and we go back into our individual areas and get to having these conversations, because there's things that happen in other groups where I can go back and even talk to my African-American brothers. If they're wrong, I need to be the voice to say that's wrong. That's a wrong thinking. That's a wrong attitude. Where the real right comes in is when we all, you know, recreate ourselves and recognize that we are part of even a greater society, and that's called the human race. You know what I mean? And we weren't made to be this way, but what happens is sometimes, you know, and you know, the sad thing is that there's a 1% of people up there, I'm talking about the super rich that control everything. You know what I mean? They got us at this level, you know what I mean, fighting one another, and we ain't really at odds with one another. It ain't you or me that control this stuff. Is there's another forces around that, you know, keeps us so fighting one another. And, yeah, we can have some conversations about certain things. And there are some things that we need to get out on the table, and we all are entitled to our opinion, but right is right. And, you know, and, yeah, we all need to, you know, we all got dreams, we all have aspirations, and we all, and if there's any group that's being done wrong, whatever that group might be, you know, we need to speak out about that.
Yeah,
because it's all about love, you know. Man, I, you know, my best friend when I was in the military was a. And I shared this story. I was in the military, and I came from an African American. You know, Washington D.C. was very, very black, and he came from an area where he came where people were very, very white. You know what I mean? But what happened is we didn't talk to each other. But by the time that we started talking to one another, we recognized that we both had the same dreams.
Yeah.
And we cried because guess what? We found out that I had been lied to, and he had been lied to. We had the same love and the same desire, and that's where, you know, we recognize that we all alike and we all want the same things. And the system at hand sometimes make it because you like white rice and I like brown rice. There's something wrong with that, or you like classical music, and I'm not saying that's really the case, and I might like jazz. That makes it wrong. No, we can accept the differences and respect one another, even in our differences, but we should be wanting that. I want you to have a fair life, and I also want to be fair, too. And that's where we got to come together.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, man. But, yeah, like, I just hope that everyone learns about, you know, respecting this themselves, you know, checking themselves before they wreck themselves. You know what I'm saying? It's a thug
okay.
life.
All right. All right. I thank you, my sister, for coming on, and I appreciate your statement.
You're welcome.
All right. God bless.
Yeah.
All right.
Can I have a Krabby Patty, please?
God bless you.
Okay. I'm going to let you keep, if you don't mind taking over the show, I have Blog Talk Radio online with me monitoring. So if you'll go on with the show, please.
Amen. Okay. Amen. People, you know, we want to talk about this because we're in a time now that you know, a lot of things are out on the table, a lot of things are going on, and we know we all need to be able to come to this table of conversation. I mean, we know that every now and then when things are at its worst, then people have a tendency to be at their best. You know, we know when we look at our community and see, you know, things that just are not right. You know, in our community, I'm talking about at the United States at large. I mean, why is the prison industrial complex one of the most profitable industries in the country right now? I'm talking about the creation of jails. The legislation behind the people who create jails are now going in and lobbying the people who make laws, and so they can fill up their jails. So that means there's a lot of kids, young kids, and disenfranchised kids, white and black and Latino and other, but primarily poor kids, meaning people that fall into a certain category who don't have the financial means to be able to fight the battle, you know, that these kids are being sent to jail. Why? Only for one reason, because of greed. And you put these kids in this environment, it creates an attitude of disenfranchisement. And when you feel disenfranchised, you know, your life has changed dramatically, and you don't feel good about yourself. And then all of a sudden, you begin to look for other things to make yourself feel better about yourself. But something happens, and sometimes the motive of operandi, the reason that people do what they do, and it's all about greed. It's all about greed, people. It's all about greed. You know, everything that we see, most of this was all behind greed. You know why the slave trade was created? Greed. Because they needed some people to build this country, and they needed if you're a history buff and you look back at it, they were not only black slaves, they were white slaves. You know, and then the reality of it, when this thing was first put together, is that actually the only people who had the ability to vote, look at your history, the only people who had the ability to vote were the white rich landowners. So they're the only people who owned property. The white sharecroppers and the black sharecroppers and the black slaves had no voice at all. This country was put together for people who wanted to come and build a country and then have all the financial benefits of exploiting whoever they had to, because it was all about greed. So when it's all said and done, that money is the root of evil, you know, and it's all about that created some of the things that we have now. It's all about greed. But when we recognize that it's okay for your children and my children to go to college, it's okay that we all should have an opportunity to experience the American dream. You know, that's why people come to this country, because it was told that we are one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. You know, that every man had the inalienable right that they would have be able to, you know, the inalienable right. I mean, you know, that all men were created equal. Yeah, are you hearing me? That's the truth of the matter. That's what the Constitution was about. Now, the last time I checked, you know, I might be a dark man, but I am a man. And they said, I am created equal. And whoever, whether you're a Latino or whether you're from another country or wherever your situation might be, but if you are a human being and you're part of this human race, that there should be an equal opportunity for you to have the same things that everybody else wants and everybody else needs to have. And yes, for those of us who have, we shouldn't look down on the have-nots. Now, yes, we need to create a culture that deals with things like work and going back to work and getting an education, and we should create a system. Even our welfare system should be a system that doesn't break people apart,
but it should be incentivized that says if a woman or a man and a woman have a child and they're under a certain income level, then how can we help them become productive and financially independent? I mean, yeah, we will help you go to college. We will help you get a job. Yes.
We've got some good calls.
Okay, amen. I'm ready.
So let's try to get these in the last 2 minutes. And I just want to say Blog Talk has been awesome. They are on it. They have called me back 3 times, and they are on this. So they are planning to do what needs to be done. So much appreciation to Blog Talk Radio. We're going to bring a caller in from the 770 area code with the last 4 of 0642. Caller, you're on the air with us.
Hi, good evening. How is everybody?
You're good.
Great. This show, I think, can be a good show and is a good show when you can block out ignorance and receive education. And I was pretty much in and out trying to deal with things in my household, but I definitely wanted to just applaud Tammy for having the show, first of all.
Amen.
But, because it's a much-needed show, but I think that some people may be a little nervous on how to take it and approach it if you are of good. And when I say if you are of good, that means if you do not have wicked intentions. And this is not to be of wicked intentions. And someone, as I was thumbing through the chat, was saying, I love being ignorant and things of that nature. Well, we all know that ignorance is lacking knowledge, awareness in general. It's uneducated, and it's not sophisticated. Therefore, you should not love being that way. God did not make you that way. God made us of a peculiar people. Therefore, we have to just say that we will pray for those who are loving in ignorance, loving in the not knowing, loving in the need to know, and learning, loving in the I'm not educated and I'm not going to know. But one thing that this show has done, it has educated you. It has gave you an understanding of what you should know. It has gave you correction. As a people, we should receive correction, not as a black, white, Hispanic, what have you, as a people. You have to be understanding that you got to be wise before you speak, before you type a letter behind a computer and something that you will not be as bold to walk in a face and say. You have to understand that God is who he is because he says who he says completely who he is, and he is all-knowing. He knew that you were going to type before you decided to type. Therefore, it's already been rebuked by those who are out praying for this show. This show is going to prevail because it's got God's hands upon it. The hands are upon the host. The hands are upon the speaker of the hours. Therefore, nothing that is done will come against her or anyone connected to her. It is rebuked, thus says the Lord. We are asking him to do these things, so if we ask, ye shall receive. We're knocking on this door, and we know that we're going to be let in by Jesus and Jesus himself. Maya Angelou said that I've learned that people will forget what you said, but people will forget what you did, won't forget what you did. People will never forget how you made them feel. How you've made people feel this evening may be uneasy, but you can be prevailed, meaning you need to repent and ask for forgiveness, because as women and man of Christ, we have forgiven you as what you have said, even as you were typing, and we know that if you recognize spirit by the spirit, that spirit was not of Jesus.
Amen.
But we are forgiving, and we will forgive and move on and realize that those who are in wicked, of course there's no degree of sin, but we know right now that that is sinful and that we will not stand for it. It will not last. It will roll off our shoulders. You have not gotten anybody. You have not rustled a feather. You have only gave pure laughter in a soul that is led by God and God only. And I appreciate the show. I thank Tammy for it. Tammy, great job.
Thank you.
Kudos.
Thank you. Very, very well said. Thank you so much. Needed one of our faithful and always listening and supporting the show. So,
girl, say the name.
Well,
same level. Jocasta. Jocasta said it. Give the
there
website.
Go.
Go write to me. It's all good. Please do. Satan knows. I don't play. I will send you back to the gates of hell where you only prevail. You don't prevail on this side, boo.
Amen.
And thank you, Jocasta.
I love you, girl.
Thank you much. God bless you.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise him up high.
Amen, sister.
Amen. Amen. We have to get her connected in on that prayer line.
Amen. I thought that might be maybe you give me 2 minutes before we end. I'd like to share that with all the persons out there, because I would love to even those who seem to be today to want to be an enemy. I want to make them my friend, because I just believe in that we have the ministry of reconciliation, and I believe we only speak out of what we don't know, but when we come with Christ, amen.
Hello.
Amen.
We have a caller from. Hello. 703 with the last four of 9628.
Hello, my brother.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I have a slight problem here. I agree with all of your, you know, all of your conversation and the positive stature you are going with forth. But I feel as if you are enforcing your opinion of religion upon a totally different subject of slavery.
Okay.
You want to explain why do you feel, in what ways, what areas have you?
Well, I feel that you are putting, of course, as a religious person, you're going to put Jesus and God or the higher being that you look forward to for guidance, but I just don't see how you're bringing, you know, slavery into this.
Well, if you think about it, brother, that, you know, the whole, you know, this United States of America was all built around God and, you know, and God we trust and, you know, all that. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So God is a whole, is in the fabric of this United States. How can we separate?
Before, this is Tammy, before we run out of time, because we are down to the last 3 minutes, I want to go back to just the very first part of the Willie Lynch letter, where it talks about the illustration king whose version of the Bible we cherish. That is in the Willie Lynch letter. You know, a lot of these things that people, slave owners, some of them believe, they did these things thinking that they were correct in doing so. They found a way
to justify Jesus Christ.
We're not pushing religion, but that's what we know. Religion
Hold
is
on.
What.
Did you just say slave owners did this?
I read the Willie Lynch
God.
Letter to you as it reads, so maybe you should go back and read that Willie Lynch letter. But what we're
like
going to do
fairy,
because we're down to the last 2 minutes.
I
don't
want to
run out of time. We're going to do this again next week. So
I
we'll
hope
be
you do
back.
It again because you're
I don't
want to
cut you off. We're down to our last 2 minutes.
Extremely scared
so
that
what
I'm
going to do is we're down to our last 2 minutes. And so, caller, please call back next week. I don't want to leave without giving out some important information. And again, because we're down to our last 2 minutes, I wrote your number down. I will pull you in next week because we want you to get your point across and we want to be able to address that. So please, if you're still on and I see you out there, please call back next week because we're gonna continue to talk about this because there is a need. And again,
Amen.
This is not a black or white thing. This is something that you guys, everyone, should be discussing in your household together with your friends. Whatever their race is. So I'm going to allow, let me just turn it over to you because I want you to get as much information out about your prayer line that you want to give out. And again, we'll do this again and hopefully it'll be more positive because Blog Talk Radio again is on all the attacks basically.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for everybody who came, our posers and arguments. It's all about grappling. It's all about conversation. And we all need to be in a point where we kind of respect one another. And so
So this is not an angry thought, and it's not, you know, but none of us are angry. When you come into this relationship that I know that I have with God, I'm not mad at anybody. It's all about just getting it right, because the God that I serve is a God of love. So even for my brother who says he's angry, we love you too. I love you in the name of the God that I serve. For those of you that are out there, that if you are of a seeking and might be of the faith, I'm a Christian pastor. We have a prayer line conference ministry. You can call in from all over the country. We meet at 6 a.m. and at 8 p.m. every night, 6 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. The number, please write it down, and you can get, you know, Tammy can help you with getting that information. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the servant leader for this ministry. We've been in place for seven years. Many people from all over the country come. The number is 6.
Go ahead and give us the number because we're losing time.
641-715-3300, conference code 499-589-pound. Please call in, or call into Tammy, and Tammy will help you get that information. God bless you all, and thank you so much.
Thank you. And for those, if we still have airtime, 641-715-3300, the code is 499-589-pound. Thank you so much, you guys. Thank you for your patience in doing this show. Thank you.
Amen. God bless.